We hope you enjoy this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching. We believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Father, thank you. You've been so, so good to us. So, so good. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you to stay. And Lord, as the word is taught, that you would speak to us. God, change us this morning. Change us, change our hearts, change the way we see life. May we see it from your perspective in all of our endeavors. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give someone a high five. Thank you to our Create team. Whoa, we have the best Create team on the planet. They really are. Yeah, can we thank them? Let's give them a good round of applause. Like, yeah. Because they get here super early and they rehearse during the week, and they are pretty phenomenal people, really phenomenal. Gifted and talented men and women who, you know, present their gift to, you know, be utilized in our church, and I'm very grateful. How about you? Very grateful. So I'm excited for the Super Bowl. I'm excited for the food. And I'm excited for the funny commercials, because they usually have really funny commercials. And I'm excited for the halftime show, because I think it's J-Lo this year, so it's going to be amazing. And then I'm excited because I'll probably go to bed after that. And, you know, everybody else can stay up and watch the Super Bowl. 49ers and the, what are they? Chiefs. Okay, I know. I've been told. I'm obviously so interested in it, I mean. But it is kind of fun. Sports is great. I think it's awesome. You know, this morning, I want to teach a word, and, you know, I taught the same word in the 9 o'clock service, and it's called God Change Me, because, you know, first of all, we're in the year 2020, and, you know, I'm 56 years old, and I remember the year 2000, remember Y2K, who remembers the year Y2K, who remembers going into year 2000, and who remembers all the books that were written about Y2K, and people made a lot of money over a lot of nonsense just because out of fear tactics, and we all buy them, and we're all, you know, the suckers that go, oh my gosh. And, you know, all the computers were going to crash, there was going to be this big glitch, and the world was coming to an end or whatever. And now we're in the year 2020. And so I was 36 then and thought, I can't imagine being 56, right? And now I'm here. And another 20 years, I can't imagine being 76, but what I want you to know, and some of you who are a little bit older will understand this, and those of you who are young are like, I don't even know what she's talking about, but life goes so fast. It goes really fast. 20 years has gone. I can't believe 20 years. Just we're in like two decades. We're in a whole new decade. And I want this year to be great for you. And maybe you started the year and you're like, this year doesn't seem like it's going great. Or maybe last year wasn't great. Or maybe you've had some years that weren't great. I've had some years that weren't great. And I convinced myself, you know, next year's just got to be better. And when I think back to that thinking, I'm like, well, why would I think, like, what was my thinking? Just because it was another year? I remember when Steve and I first got married, our first year was so hard. I mean, we dated well, and we were in church, we were loving Jesus, we had some good friends, we were ticking all the boxes, but man, it was so hard. And I was like, well, what's wrong here? I'm supposed to be happy. It's supposed to be great. It's supposed to be the greatest year of my life. It's really, really hard. And then I was thinking, you know, maybe the second year, we get into the second year, and it's still a little bit hard. And I'm like, whoa, yeah, we're two really selfish, both wanting control people who are young and dumb, clueless. And it wasn't until we got alongside some people that knew a little bit more than we did and weighed in on our life and helped us tweak a few little things that life started to get better. And what I want to say to you today is, you know, another year won't be better just because you want it to be better necessarily. Like, we have a big part to play in what this year looks like. And maybe you're thinking, well, circumstances will change and that'll be better. And yes, maybe they will be better. But I promise you, for all of us, every year, and this is what I've found, Because I've had some other years where I'm like, oh gosh, I just can't wait for this year to be over. Next year's got to be better. But guess what? Life happens in that next year as well. And so what I've discovered is how we navigate that plays a big role in how we end that year. So, how was your 2019? Was it good? Okay. Great. And how's your 2020 going to be? I mean, I can't believe we're already towards the end of January already. But honestly, for each and every one of you, Stephen, my prayer is that this year you would flourish. And you might be looking down this year and thinking, you know, I don't know, because I know there's going to be some certain things that are going to happen this year just because of where it lands this year. Maybe there's kids going off to college, or, you know, a job change, or just certain things financially, maybe some certain things happening. I don't know. So you might be looking down there and thinking, okay, I hear what you're saying, but how can it be a good year? And I just want to say it absolutely can be. Absolutely can be. This year can be a rocking year for you. And I want, and Stephen, my prayer is that for each and every one of you, it is. But I want you to know that you are a big part of your year ending well or not well. And I'm not talking about circumstances, I'm talking about you. And so let's dive in, shall we? You know, I love that Jesus taught in parables. For many of you who have been Christians for a while, you've probably read the parables Jesus taught in the Bible. And the parables are stories that Jesus would tell to help people understand what God's kingdom is like. And even though they were taught a long time ago, what's so interesting is they are just as applicable today as they were a few thousand years ago. Isn't that amazing? Because Jesus wasn't necessarily talking to a culture, to a people group, to a race, background, status, where you came from. He was talking to the very core and heart of humanity. And so we're going to read one of these parables today, found in Matthew 25, and we're going to pick it up in verse 14. And hopefully, we'll get to the end of it. You're like, what's that got to do with my year? Well, hopefully by the end of this, we'll have figured some things out. So again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. And we all scratch our head and think, why? After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest and I have earned 5 more. Master was full of praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Servant with the 2 bags, same thing. He comes in, all praise to you. Let's celebrate together. And then down to verse, I think, 24. Then the servant with 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, this is what he said to him. This is what he said to his boss. Boss, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid that I would lose your money. So I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I had harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. And then he ordered, take the money from the servant, give it to the one with 10 bags. To which I have to remind myself, and I want to remind you, that this is Jesus telling this story. Jesus is telling this story. What's interesting to me about this story is Jesus is more interested and most interested and very interested in the servant with the one bag of silver than he is anything else in this story. Oh, he's interested in the people with the five bags and the two bags. But he particularly points out this guy with the one bag of silver. You know, it's an interesting thing, isn't it, in life? Often we compare ourselves to each other and we feel like we sometimes or a lot of times fall short. We think about when if I said to you, what abilities and talents do you have? What can you do well? A lot of us would have a hard time, like, well, I'm not sure. But the truth is, God has gifted each and every one of us with various talents and uniqueness. And that we are here on this planet at this time for such a time as this. And that our world needs us more than we really understand. So what I want to say to you is, how will your 2020 be different? And what is this guy who, you know, didn't do the right thing by his boss got to do with it? I think, you know, as I read this, I see myself in this guy. First thing I want to say to you is, number one, can I stop the blame game? Can I stop the blame game? This guy said, I didn't do it because you. It's you. You're a hard boss and you're not very honest. Remember, Jesus is telling the story about a boss that's not super honest. He's not really interested in the boss that's not super honest. He's interested in the person who has a job to do. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus is telling the story. Do you ever feel challenged by the word of God? Sometimes I read this and feel my self-righteous bone get rattled. Because there's things that I feel certain about, and then the scripture challenges me to go, you need to think a little bit broader about this, right? And so I just want to challenge us, can I stop the blame game in a culture where it's so easy? Because if I put the blame on you, then I don't feel so bad about what I did or didn't do, right? I don't want it to be my fault. We just get called out on something and we just want to palm it off to someone else. You know, it was interesting. A couple of weeks ago, Steve and I were having a conversation. So, you know, I was talking about our first year was rough and we have had a great marriage. But like every marriage, there's moments where it gets a little bit tense and you have conversations that it's like, okay, more work. Someone said to us a couple years ago, okay, what year of marriage do you get to when you don't have to work at it anymore? And we just busted up laughing. No, you work at this every day that you are married. You make a decision every day. I'm going to be married and it's going to be amazing and I'm going to play my part, right? And just so for some of you who think, okay, maybe if I'm married 20 years, we'll have it all sorted out. No, because we're evolving and changing throughout our life. But anyway, so we were having a kind of a tense conversation and he was pointing out some things that I may or may not have been doing well. And he just pushed a button, you know, and I mean, he didn't mean to, we were just talking about it and he pushed that button and I just, knee-jerk reaction, I just went, well, that's because you always, it's just boom, just straight like that. I mean, it's not even like I had to think about it. It was like, it just boom, came straight out of me. Isn't it funny when we get confronted with things, you know, someone might say to us, hey, have you, you know, the way he handled that maybe wasn't so good, maybe at work something happened, or, you know, he had even interaction with a child, or, you know, any kind of relationship, and you get confronted with the situation, don't our defenses go up straight away? Like, we don't even have to think about it. Boom, and we just let the other person have it. Well, it's your fault that I'm like this. And I just remember, you know, we kind of half resolved the conversation and then I walked away mumbling under my breath just so God could hear, hey, can you just like help figure this out and just see what sometimes I have to put up with, you know, because that's how we are. Because we're the perfect one and the other, you know, we always think we're right. We always think our heart's right. We always, until God weighs in. Isn't that interesting? But I just want to challenge me as I challenge you too. I wonder if this year we could pause a little bit because we have a world that desperately needs Jesus, desperately needs Jesus, desperately needs to know that there is a hope and a future for their lives because they're looking for it. And, you know, we can be self-righteous and go, well, we have it, no, and we're just getting on with our life. Or we can go, you know what, I just want to press the pause button. a little bit. And with my interactions with my colleagues, with my family, I want to lose the blame. Because what I realized in that moment, in that conversation, that what he was saying to me was right. I just didn't want to listen to it or own it. We don't want to own our stuff. I don't have stuff. It's your stuff. And I'm just praying because, you know, we've just done 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I'm just saying, God, change us. Change us to be the people of God you have called us to be. And it will only happen when we just lay our hearts bare and go, God, you need to weigh in here. Help me not push my defenses straight up. Help me not just fight right off the block. Help me not jump on Facebook and scream and shout at everybody. Help me, help me, help me. And so I'm praying. Can we own our stuff and blame less? Like, could we be accountable for it? Could we say to someone close to us, hey, I've noticed that I do that. Could you call me on it? Now, that's a big statement. It's easy to say it. Until they're calling us on it. Whoa, whoa, wait a minute, you know? But God help us, change me. You know, in Matthew 7, verse 5, in the Passion Translation, it says this, I love this. First acknowledge your own blind spots and deal with them. And then you'll be capable of dealing with the blind spot of your friend. Second thing, because I want our 2020 to be great. Maybe we need to blame less, own our stuff. Maybe realize we are where we are for some decisions that we have made. Be honest about it. That's hard. But because I want you to flourish, I want us to be able to talk about this stuff. And as I speak to you, I'm speaking to me 10 times louder, I promise. Number two, can I be responsible with what's in my hand? See, again, remember, Jesus is telling the story. He's not interested in the businessman really at all. He's interested in the man with the one bag of silver. You had a responsibility. You were entrusted with this man's money. He didn't ask you to do anything illegal or immoral with it. He asked you to do your job. And he came back and you didn't do it. And church, I want to ask us, can we step up in our responsibility? What is in our hand to do? Is it your workplace? Is it your family? Is it your neighborhood? What area has God given you influence? And he's saying to you, I've trusted you with this. Now, come on, do what I've asked you to do. And so I have a couple of questions with that. The first question is, what responsibility do I have to steward well the things in my life, my marriage? Maybe a hard season in your marriage right now. And you may be able to tell me everything that's wrong with your spouse. And I'm not talking about toxic or abusive relationships like right now. That's a whole different ballgame. And you may be able to tell me that, but I'm going to say to you, what about you? Can you pray, God, change me? Help me step it up and be responsible and love that spouse and honor that spouse and respect that spouse like I never have before. Oh, you don't understand. This has been years and years and years. Just try it. In my family, do I need to spend some more face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball time with my children? That's my responsibility. What about in your friendships, your workplace, your church? Community, neighborhood, whatever you find in your hand. I hope this week you go into your workplace and your boss is so, maybe they already love you, but I pray they're going to love you on a whole nother level because you're going to take the responsibility of it super serious. I wonder if Jesus is, as he's telling this story, is thinking, you know, you might have only thought you had one bag of silver. You were ticked off. You were comparing yourself with each other. You thought he does a few wrong things that I don't like. I wonder if he was saying, you know, this guy's salvation rests on you. I wonder. I wonder if in your workplace, there's people's lives that hang in the balance and God's put you there. It's a responsibility to steward this well. To not join in the office gossip. To not talk bad and undermine your boss. to not take things from them. Now, I'm not saying you do that at all, please. But I know we can so easily, can't we so easily get caught into what, it's all right, doesn't really matter. And I'm saying to us, come on, church. We're the church of Jesus. We're the family of God. We are believers that are on mission. I pray this week, your world is turned upside down. Question two, and can I steward it well and be responsible even if I feel like that person doesn't deserve it? Because as Jesus tells the story, he's not really interested in the businessman. He's interested in the man with the one bag of silver coins. I want your 2020 to be phenomenal. Sometimes when we stand up and own some stuff, be a little more responsible. I pray maybe this week you get into work a little bit early, maybe leave a little bit late. Why? Because you're taking this responsibility seriously. God, thank you for this job. Thank you. You might say to me, I hate my job. Well, I'm going to pray you love it. Lord, help me fall in love with my job. Those people that I work with, thank you, God, that you've put me there. Lord, may I just shine your light somehow. I'm not going to hit them over the head with the Bible. But God, give me opportunity. Give me opportunity. Amen. Because Matthew 25 says this, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And church, I'm asking you to look at your situation a little bit differently. I'm asking you to see the significance of where God has placed you and run with that responsibility. Wear it well. Point number three, can I own my happy? Can I own my happy? It's a funny thing, isn't it? We want to put our happy on a person. You're supposed to make me happy. Or a thing, I'm going to buy that, it's going to make me so happy. Or a place, I'm going to move there. You don't understand the palm trees, the blue water, it's so amazing, I'm going to be so happy. You know what I've discovered in 56 years of life? It's not a person, it's not a thing, it's not a place. It's right where you are, loving Jesus with all your heart. I can't tell you how happy I was or I became when I realized Steve's job wasn't to make me happy. Now, of course, we have a lot of happy times, but that's not his responsibility. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So his responsibility is to love me and pray for me. But he's not supposed to get up and make me happy every day. That's my responsibility. And that's on you too. So when you go into work this week and every, you know, maybe the last couple of weeks you've walked in and gone, I hate it here, I hate it here, I hate it here. That's your mantra as you go in. I promise you, you don't even have to open your mouth before everybody just goes, they hate it here. Because it just is coming out of you. But I want us to own our happy, to decide every day to make a decision to be grateful. God, thank you that you have given me today. Thank you. I choose to be grateful. I choose to be thankful. I choose to think about what you have done for me. You know, we just finished 21 days of prayer, and we had never as a church done anything like that before. And so going into it as a team, we were like, oh, wow, okay, that's going to be great. But it's going to be early mornings. You know, we were all going in. But can I tell you, at the end of the 21 days, because I was talking with the girls on our team, you know what everyone was saying? Getting up early was the best thing. Like spending time in the presence of God, best thing ever. We can so talk ourselves out of the thing, the very thing. You want to be happy? Get in God's presence. I'm telling you, you'll be happy. And we'll be doing it a couple more times through the year. Can I encourage you? Jump on board. The thing we need most is prayer, and the thing we do the least is prayer. I'm just saying, me too. My hand is up too. God, we need you. Joy comes from your presence. Amazing. Just saying. You know, I have two little granddaughters and they are in love with Frozen. In fact, one of them, Lennon, wears her little Elsa outfit. And I come in and I say, hi, Lennon, how are you? And she goes, I'm not Lennon, I'm Elsa. And I'm like, okay, Elsa, how are you? And she's, you know, and those little girls together can sing Let It Go like nothing else. Now, it sounds really cute. Really cute. until you're in a car with them and 15 minutes later, let it go. I'm like, if someone doesn't let this go in a minute, we're all not going to be happy and I'm going to have a... But you know, there's some things in our lives we just got to let go.
Right.
Let it go. Well, I thought that would happen and that would make me happy. Let it go. Yeah. Let it go. Find your happy. Choose it. Today, you can be happy. Rachel Brown's a girl, a beautiful pastor on our staff. You know, Rachel comes up here and there you are, Rach. Good to see you, honey. You know, Rachel's been with us, well, I can say over 20 years, except five of those she had to go to Australia. And you know, we believed she was supposed to be here. She believed she was supposed to be here, but there were problems with her visa. And after 12 years, she was asked to leave the country, and we didn't know if she would ever be able to come back. And I remember talking to her right before she left. And she said, you know what? I just spent some time with God last night, and I just know it's going to be okay. I just know God's got it. Well, God's got it meant we got the attorney told us, no, she's going to have to leave the country. But you know, I watched Rachel for 5 years be in Australia and be so happy. She got stuck into it. She got implanted in another church. She worked tirelessly, threw her, you know, heart and soul into that. And then through an amazing set of circumstances, God brought her back here. But can I tell you, her happiness was not a place. It wasn't. It was the fact that she went, God, I just trust you. I'm spending time in your presence because I just know you've got it. And then she ended up back here and we're all just still scratching our heads and she's a green card holder and praise the Lord. Sometimes things don't make sense, you know? And lastly, number four, can I work at not allowing my feelings to be my compass, to be my true north? I have feelings, you have feelings. Feelings are legitimate. But if they're steering your life, it's not a good scenario. And I'll tell you why, because your feelings lie to you. They don't tell you the whole truth. They don't. This guy, the one bag of silver guy, is stuck in his feelings. I was afraid I couldn't do it. And he missed the mark. And we all sit here and think, mate, what were you thinking? Just had to get out there. You could have just put it in the bank, mate. And he's like, oh, what am I going to do? I'll bury it. You know, I had a friend that I met with in the last couple of weeks. And this kind of explains this point a little bit. Because we're all wired very differently. And sometimes we land in our feelings and it just feels like a long, hard climb out. And this friend of mine, very creative person, melancholy personality, which, you know, they're incredibly creative, but it can be harder for them when feelings kick in. And they were saying to me, you know, they would have a hard time. Something would happen, and they'd start to feel overwhelmed, alone, and all this stuff. And they said, I was going down a path that just wasn't good. So they started going to counseling, and this is what the counselor said to them. Listen, when you start feeling that way, and you feel yourself, they said, confess, speak what you know to be true. And so they started speaking what they knew to be true. God, I know you've called me. God, I know you're for me. God, thank you for my wonderful wife who loves me, my children. They just started speaking this over their life. And you know what? They drowned out the feelings that were going to take them to a not great place. Now, when they're in their creative element, those feelings, whoo, they help them. But they can't be the true north of your life. And we are in a very feeling-oriented culture. But I believe Jesus speaks to this and says, hey, don't live there. Because it's going to take you out of what I have destined and called you to do. So I was just looking in Ephesians 1 and 2, and the guys are going to throw up on the slide just some confessions we can all have to help us not be stuck in our feelings. So let's say these together. Say, I am loved. Let's say it together. I have a great future. I am God's masterpiece. I am part of God's family. I have peace. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am chosen. I am saved by grace. I am forgiven. I am filled with the same power that raised Christ from the dead. I am free from sin and shame. You know, maybe you sat there today and said that and went, Let me tell you something. You tape that beside your mirror, and every morning when you get up, you look at that and tell yourself who you are. You are saved. You are chosen. You have the same power that raised Christ from the dead living in you. You do. You do. And I want to remind us, 2020 is going to be amazing. Don't blame. Be responsible. Own your happy. And don't let the emotions be your true north. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. I believe 2020 is going to be a phenomenal year for all of us. Can I pray for us? Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that each of us are called. We are loved. We are chosen. We are unique. It's by your plan and purpose that we are here. Lord, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I get the opportunity to do life with incredible people here. Help us, God, as we begin again to reappreciate who you've put us beside, to really be each other's greatest encouragers. But God, my prayer this morning is, Lord, change us. I pray we would allow you to put your finger on areas in our heart and life that need to be changed. And though it's hard, God, I know you're right there with us. You're going to help us do this. And Father, I believe our world will be different because of that. Thank you, God. And while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to give you an opportunity, each and every one of you, to know Jesus, to know him as your personal Lord and Savior. Because for 2020 to be great, it will really only start when you encounter Christ powerfully. Oh, he'll change your life from the inside out. So friend, I'm talking to you, each and every one of you, sir, ma'am, young person, older person. Where are you with Jesus today? Do you know him? Do you know that you can walk with someone who sticks closer than a friend? Maybe you accepted Christ one time, but you realize you're not where you should be with God. You've just kind of gone a different path. Maybe you've never ever experienced or known that you could have a relationship with Jesus. You could talk to him every day. Or maybe you've grown up in church and you've just never made that decision. Okay, I'm all in. Friend, this morning, wherever you are across this auditorium, if that's you, I'm not gonna embarrass you, you don't have to stand up. I'm just gonna ask you to lift your hand. So right across this auditorium, thank you, sir, I see you. Right across this auditorium now, thank you, sir, I see you. Just begin to lift your hand and say, Sharon, could you pray for me? I want to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. Just thank you, sweetheart, I see you. Thank you, sweetheart, I see you. Anyone else this morning say, yep, that's me. I need Jesus. I want him to be Lord and Savior of my life. Just keep lifting your hand. Just keep lifting your hand. Wonderful, honey, I see you. Anyone else this morning, I see you. Thank you. Just thank you, honey, I see you. Anyone else this morning, just lift it nice and high because we want 2020 to be phenomenal. It's going to start with this decision. Getting right with God. Anyone else this morning? Just give me a wave just before. See you. See you. Anyone else this morning? Fantastic. All right, why don't we pray this prayer together? All those of you who lifted your hands, pray it along with the rest of our church. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me. And right now I ask you to come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. Thank you that you forgive my sin. And thank you that today I walk out of here a Christian. Christ in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, church.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Sharon at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.